Hey, before we start, just a scripture just really came to my heart as I was preparing. You know it well. Isaiah 54 verse 17, no weapon formed against you, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every spoken word spoken against me, I shall speak against it. That is our inheritance, that is our heritage in God. Amen. But as I kick this off tonight, as I read that scripture, one thing kind of really sticks out to me. And it's not enough that we agree. It's not enough that we just say, oh yeah, I like that scripture and I agree with that scripture. And I'll tell you why. Because if all we do is hear the word, but we don't look to apply that word. If all we do is hear truth, but we never look to apply truth, then all it is what we call logos or written word. It never becomes rhema or revealed or living word. So no weapon formed against you and I shall prosper. It won't work. As I speak that over you tonight, I pray that God would speak into your heart. Let's take a moment. God, right now, for every word spoken over lives in this room, I see it like a hook, like a fishing hook that has been taken a hold of your spirit, taken a hold of your emotion, taken a hold of your mental state, taken a hold of who you are. And this hook, this word, negative word spoken over you, spoken against you, is tied you like a fishing line connected to that hook. It's tied you and held you back from where it is that God has called you to go. I'm going to really be bold, and I'm going to ask you to be more bold than me. Just as in this moment, as we close our eyes and we give each other that space of quietness between you, God, and of course the guy speaking, I want to invite you to lift your hand. If that's you, you know that there's a hook in your life that's holding you back. Hands going up around the room. Wherever you are, I want to just invite you, be bold, be strong, because I don't ask you for admission's sake. I ask you because God is wanting to remove hooks tonight. I'm not asking you so that I feel great about something. I'm asking you so that God might do something in you tonight. If that's you, would you please, in the name of Jesus, for his sake and yours, for his life and yours, would you lift your hand wherever you are, nice and high. Lord, every hand raised right now in this room, every hand raised right now for every word spoken in Jesus' name we bind the accuser. In Jesus' name we tear down every stronghold. In Jesus' name we rebuke every word of death that has been spoken and hooked in to the hearts, the lives, the emotions, the mental state of every person with their hand up in the room, and every person not bold enough also with their heart up in this room. In Jesus' name, we pray by your power, your Holy Ghost power, that you would come and break the chains right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, break every single hook. Tear out every single word that is resisting and holding people back. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give him a round of applause. He's amazing. I keep thinking this, whenever I read that scripture, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And you know, there's been a lot of words spoken against me, as I'm sure there's been a lot of words spoken against you. But there's one thing that I know, and I hope that tonight you might get something out of this, but there's one thing I know, that my Jesus calls me into the future far greater than my past. That my Jesus has said stuff about me that far outweighs, knocks down, eliminates, erases every word spoken to me about me back there. My future going forward and yours, hopefully, is going forward is far greater than what's behind. Amen. Sorry, I don't mean to say amen so much that I want you to agree. I say that because I'm just in the habit of saying it. I'll just take a moment. I just had this need as I prepared to prophesy over the youth. If you're under 24, would you stand? Check it out, check it out. It's not a game. Oh, Janita, oh, not again. Got missed out again by 1 year. Wherever you are, I want to tell you this. God has called you. God has appointed you. In this room are some of the greatest speakers and some of the greatest preachers that this nation has heard. In this room are some of the most anointed worship songs yet to be written. In this room are some of the most crystal clear hearers of God's word for this nation. And right now, wherever you are, I want you to close your eyes. If you're under 24, close your eyes, lift your hands. Right now, in Jesus' name. God, I declare your word. Father, that you've called us for purpose. Lord, that you say that with you, everything and anything is possible according to your will. Right now, for every single young person represented and every single young at heart represented in this room, right now we declare your power to come and to fall on us for your purpose, for your sake, and for your kingdom come in Jesus' mighty name right now, in Jesus' name. Come on, give him another round of applause. Let's take our seats. All right, so look, I just want to start off to test something. My wife told me a joke this week. I didn't think it was funny, so I said it to my son, who also didn't think it was funny. So I said, perhaps it's a Māori and a not Māori thing. And she said, no, because everyone at my work thought it was funny. So here's the joke. Why did the chicken cross the road? That's true. Why? Because he was trying to get to the library. Why did the chicken need to get to the library? To get a book out. Not as good as my wife. All right, fecal. Why did the dinosaur cross the road? Why didn't the dinosaur cross the road, I should say? No, because billions of years, there weren't any roads in the Jurassic period. That's why. I tell my wife, I love my wife. She preached an amazing message. If you want to have a look at the podcast and have a listen, she was awesome. But I tell my wife often, I've got the body of a Greek god. She told me, she reminded me that Buddha wasn't from Greece. So I kind of went on. Well, that's true. Hey, I want you to relax because, not for joke's sake, but I want you to relax because we're in the house of God. See, I think sometimes we get just a little bit stifled up on the outside and it stifles what we receive on the inside. So I just want you to relax. Hey, we're good, you know. God's amazing. And he can do with you or he can do without you. So let's just get happy about who we are and let's get with him. Amen? Amen. Right. So, I mean, I've got 3 points. It must be God about tonight. And I just really want to speak something that hopefully you can take home. So I'm a mower man, if you don't know. I mow lawns for a living, which is hence the reason for my godlike figure. I mow lawns for a living. And, you know, when I'm mowing lawns, actually, this is what I've discovered. This week in particular, I've been mowing my lawns and I had a breakdown on a mower. Gosh, take it home. Luckily, I'm a fantastic mechanic. Fix it. Go out again. Mowing the same mower. Breaks again. Oh no, go home. Fix it again. Go out again. Oh no, it's broken again. Something else. Take it home. Fix it. Fourth time, I'm out on the street, I'm mowing a lawn, and guess what? It breaks again. At that point, I was about to hulk my mower, and then I realized something. Guess what? I actually knew that it was about to break. I'd actually known for about 3 or 4 months, actually, that it was about to break. I could feel it in the shutter. Wasn't going like it should. Certainly wasn't cutting as well as I thought. It was hitting some stuff and I kind of you know, not as easy, not as good, as not as efficient as it was before. This evening's message, I want to talk about something I think that we all do, that we're guilty of, and hopefully I'll give you some keys to help us stay in the game. It's simply this, because I knew that mower was about to break down, and it cost me something when I ignored it, so is our spiritual lives. See, we know that there's stuff going on, and we know that there's things that need attending to, and we know that there is some stuff in our spirit that we're ignoring, stuff in our finances that we're ignoring, stuff in our relationships that we're ignoring. We know that when we're hit under pressure and we can feel things start to spin, we know things are going all wrong. We can actually feel it, but we choose, like I did, to just kind of like a, oh, she'll be right. Just get me through this next job. Just get me through this next service. Just get me through this next meeting. Just get me through this next band practice. Just get me through this next whatever. See, but unfortunately, when it really matters, that's when the wheels come off. See, I don't believe we're called to live a life just getting by, waiting for the wheels to fall off, then leaving and saying it was the church's fault. I don't know about you. I hope I'm speaking to someone, because I'm definitely speaking to me, because I've been there. So I've gotten to the point where it's easy to kind of say, it all breaks down. I take the mower or something to the professional. He tells me it was my fault and I blame him. How dare he charge me X dollars? I mean, it only took him like 4 minutes to fix it. Yet isn't it the same? Pastor, please help me. My life is a mess. Well, you know, if you did this and if you did that and if you did the other, I'm leaving that dumb church. So where am I going with tonight? It's time that we aligned our lives to stay sharp and in step with blessing, or else the wheels will come off. Is that okay? All right, if you're taking notes, and if you've got a Bible, but I'll help you out. Ephesians 4. Man, the days when you want your glasses, right? Ephesians 4, verses 11 through to 17, 16 I should say. I'm just going to turn this way. Is that all right, Cheryl? I can't read back there. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. 14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Christ, or of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows, builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Lord, be with us as we look into your word. Father, give us an open heart and certainly a receptive spirit. Father, that we might hear from you. That you would use this vessel to communicate a heart truth to the lives of the spirits of men in this room. In Jesus' mighty name. Step one. Submit yourself to godly mentors. No one really likes that, right? We don't like mentors, but then they're godly ones. I mean, it's hard enough to just have a mentor, right? Because you know what mentor means? Mentor means I'm going to point out some of the things that need some shifting. Yeah, that's kind of what a mentor is. But now he's a godly one. So not only is he going to talk about my finances and he's going to talk about my relationship, now he's actually going to talk about my habits as a believer as well. But can I say this to you? If you want to stay sharp, you need to step one. You need to submit yourself to godly mentors. Verse 11 says, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. If you talk to anybody who knows anything about giftings and generally strength finders, personality types, you know, and there's a whole ton of things you can do about it. These are basically different men and women under God, gifted naturally but also supernaturally to carry out a work to build the body of Christ. So probably one of these gifted men or women of God will suit you. Does that make sense? You are not so odd that there is no one that you couldn't find that could give you some mentoring. Let's just get that excuse out the way. Submit yourself to godly men. I'll tell you why. Submission always opens permission. Did you hear that? submission always opens permission. Too often, we want the permission, but we don't want to submit. See, too often we want to get stuff, but we don't want to submit to what God has for us. See, I want my salvation, but I don't want to change. See, I want all the blessings that God has for me that I read in the Bible, but I don't want to sacrifice one iota. See, before you can get permission, God isn't a fool, and neither are godly men generally. But if you want what God has for you, can I just say that it all starts at this place called submission? You don't have to like it, but you do have to lump it. Because that's just how the Bible works. See, I mean, the great thing about my Bible and the great thing about God is everything I read, I realize that great men and women of God did great things, and it was out of comfort for them. It was never within, you know, it was never within comfort. Sometimes we live in a place we don't want to be just simply because we're comfortable. And God is trying to move us from where we are to where he knows we would benefit most, but it's our comfort that locks us where we are. I hope I'm speaking to somebody. You know, too often we do want benefits without sacrifice. We want gain without pain. But can I just say this? Submission deals with the content of your heart way before it deals with the benefits of your sacrifice. Can you hear that? Submission deals with the content of your heart well before it deals with the benefits of your sacrifice. Here's a real simple way to know that you submit to godly men and women. You do what they suggest. That's just, you know, submission 101. You know, you just do what they suggest. Don't tell me you're submitted to a godly man or a godly woman, a mentor, when you haven't done the very first thing they said you should do. You're waiting until they tell you something that you like before you do anything. See, that's not submission one. Not one, just side point. Do what they suggest. Also, believe them. Now, you know, I know there's some people out there that are sometimes a little bit unbelievable. I could be one of them for you. But that's okay. Just if you've identified that these men and women are godly men and women, just believe them. See, I think we live in a generation where everyone's looking for proof about everything. If you want proof, and you're going to have a problem with the Bible. I mean, the Bible's very provable, trust me. But some of the stories are a bit whack, right? I mean, just a little bit, eh? 15, 16, took out a giant. Really? Where's the Storix on this? I don't know. It's a little bit unbelievable. I'll tell you what. When it comes to submission, when it comes to faith in God, you just believe. You just trust. You just believe. When it comes to submitting yourself to godly men and women, just believe them. 99% of the time, they'll have your best interest at heart. 99% of the time, they don't want to be bothered with you. And I'm not being mean. They got a life too. Is this okay? See, they're doing for you a service because they're looking to build you up in the body. Generally, they're not getting paid one dime. But they do it because they love God, and they do it because they love God's people. So don't treat them like they're some kind of, you know, they owe us because I give $4 a week in tithes. I mean, come on. Oh, I don't know if I should, you know. We okay? Are we all right? Yeah. Also, when you submit, generally you'll come alongside and you'll help them minister. When mentors have people that they work with, it isn't long before those ones know what it is to help. Generally, we get ourselves into trouble because we're too busy looking at everybody in the shoes that are right beneath their feet. That's just too often the case. They're more concerned about they're more concerned about them. But when you get a God, when you're submitted to godly men and women, it isn't long before you're thinking about someone else's shoes, someone else's feet, someone else's needs. And that, my friend, is part leading into step two. Step two, serve your way to freedom. Listen to me. Serve your way to freedom. If you feel trapped, if you feel imprisoned, if you feel blocked up, if you feel that there's something in your past or perhaps something in your thinking that locks you down, I want to tell you something, that the way through that is to serve your way through. It is not to, I mean, it is to get support, and it is certainly to get professional help, and it is helpful to do a whole lot of stuff. But in the end, I'll tell you what's the best way through. Serve your way through. Verses 12 and 13 simply says to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Can I just say this with a little bit of a smile on my face because I've got the microphone. Perhaps you're immature because you don't know how to serve. With love in my heart for you, I love my kids. When they were young, we did everything for them. As soon as they could reach the bench, baby, we'll go start washing those dishes. You're on a stool. See, we need to serve to build up, as the Bible says, build up one another and build up ourselves. Jesus said the greatest among us is who? The servant. So if you want to be great in the kingdom, you need to know how to serve. Can I just ask if anybody in the room serves in some capacity, and it doesn't necessarily just mean what we do on a Sunday or some of the programs, but you're serving your community, you're serving your workplace, and I mean that in a real God sense, whoever you are, and as well as those who serve in the life of the church, you get no payment for it, you do it for the love of God and for the love of God's people, whoever you are, and I'm included, would you stand to your feet? Come on, give these guys a round of applause. There's some people not standing that they need to stand. No, I don't mean you who's standing, give yourselves a round of applause. I mean those who are not standing, give these ones who are standing a round of applause. Awesome. All right, take your seat. The world we really live in wants things easy, breezy, and freezy. You know, freezies are good. And if we were building a business that's all about consumer happiness, then that's definitely something that we would be thinking about. But we're not building a business. We're building the kingdom of God. At least God is calling us to build a kingdom community. Amen? Now, if you were to come to my house for your first visit, you will get the visitor's treatment. You'll get fed. It'll probably be a full meal. You know, you get dessert as well. Oh, man, you'd probably be snacks, actually, before all of that. Bit of hors d'oeuvres, yes. Yeah. Come on in now, hello. We'll sit together, we'll talk, you know, that you're visiting. It's all about you. That's the first visit. Oh, wait, I'll probably make you an espresso coffee. You hear, boy? Smiles, attention, oh, you're so lovely. Second visit, there's still going to be food. Conversation's still going to be there. Going to be perhaps a little less glamorous. On the third visit, there is going to be an expectation that you are helping with the cooking and the dishes. But there'll be great fellowship. I say this with niceness in my heart for you, because God is nice and we should be the same, but he's also truthful. Some of us are living in this space, being at this church, acting like visitors when we need to just simply step up and start behaving like kids of the house. See, I don't know how long it takes for you to work out you're no longer a visitor. But I think if you've been here over a year, you're no longer a visitor. Let me just say it. You're not a visitor. Get your hands dirty. We got stuff to do. Is that all right? So, I mean, some of us sit here waiting for someone else to do the job like we can't do it ourselves. And unfortunately, I want to just say a quick sorry to Cheryl. I was sitting there and me and Janita, we were deep in conversation. And then we looked up and Cheryl says, get over here and help. She didn't say it like this. But can you guys help move the chairs? And I went, oh, heck, sorry. That's what you do. Of course you don't do it to visitors, but you're not visitors. Come on, we can get up and move chairs. We can get up and do stuff. Amen? And actually, that's one of the things that keep us sharp. That's one of the things that keep our hearts aligned. That's some of the stuff that keeps us in tune. Okay. Oh, look, I just made a good point. I think it might be good. See, when a visitor becomes a child of the house, then a child of the house can question. A child of the house can ask for change. A child of the house can challenge. And a child of the house can also encourage, but a visitor can't. See, too often we get visitors trying to tell us how to do our job. Well, become a child of the house first. Learn to submit. Learn to serve. Okay, 2 minutes. We'll wrap this thing up. Three, if you're with me. We've got to learn to stand against godly opposition. See, here we are. Just out of verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed about back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, every cunning of people. When you submit, you're corrected. When you serve, you're connected. When you stand, you're convinced. When you submit, you're corrected. When you serve, you're connected. When you stand, you're convinced. See, the reason babies are easily tossed around by every, not just babies, just easily, you know, yay, there's a man in a van with a lolly, we'll go with him. Oh, yay, you know, the reason they're easily convinced, the reason they're easily, because they're immature children. Be careful what you're listening to. See, if you're submitted to men and women of God, and you're serving in the house, you know what you stand for. Some of us are all over the show, not in this room, obviously, other people who should be in the room. Some people are so higgledy-piggledy, they don't know where they're at. And often it's just because they've never decided, I'm going to lock in, I'm going to serve here. I know I don't feel called. I don't even feel I've got the gifting. But an opportunity's there. I'm going to do it. And something happens on the inside of you that you just decide, I've got the ability to stand. That when things start to go south, when things start to get wishy-washy, I got the power to stand. See, I've been through some stuff where I heard in praise and worship, you had to bark like a dog, roar like a lion. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. I like the one, you know, give God $100 and he'll multiply it to 10,000. And I was dumb enough to give God $1,000 and then I was just broke. Here's one that I don't know if you've heard of. Maybe you will one day. I hope you never do. Drums are an abomination of the Lord. They're an abomination. They should never be in the house of God. I'm sorry if I might be stepping on your toes. Drums are an abomination because they sync with the heartbeat, you know. You know what? I know my God. I know how to stand. I'm not going to get tossed around by every will or every whim. You're not going to find me zipping over to that church because such and such there and flitting over here because so and so's there and chasing such and such because they were speaking down the street, you know, and I just think, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I know how to stand. Verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we grow together to become mature. Can I ask everyone just to stand to their feet? If you're here tonight and you're willing to give your heart and your life to God, something might have been said that you know has caused you perhaps to get out of sync. You know that like a child, like an infant, your thinking has been washed to and fro over a whole lot of different thoughts and you don't know what to believe anymore. Well, I want to tell you something. If that's you here tonight, can I invite you to give your life to Jesus? Can I invite you to submit your life to the most godly man that there ever was, and he promises to give his spirit into you and live with you and support you and comfort you from this day forward. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed, if you're here tonight and you want to accept Jesus for the very first time, can I ask you just, I'm going to ask you again to be bold. Can I just ask you, would you raise your hand in the air nice and high? I will see that hand. I will acknowledge you and you can put it back down again. Is there anyone in the room tonight ready to accept Jesus as their Lord? And my second call goes out for everyone else who says that they are believers, who have accepted Jesus into their lives. If you are ready tonight, because you know that you haven't been, you are ready tonight to make Jesus number one in your life. And you know that you haven't been, you know that you haven't been, but you're ready tonight. Can I ask you to do the same? Can I please invite you, just as heads are bowed, would you please raise your hand wherever you are? I'll acknowledge you. You can put your hand down. Awesome. Awesome. Fantastic. Great. Right, got a few hands going up. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Anyone else? Great. Good stuff. Wonderful. Anybody else? I just feel in this moment, I don't want to rush it. So I just want to give you the opportunity to align your heart again to the call of God for your life. Anyone else? Just before we close in prayer. It's fantastic. Just with heads bowed. For those who raise their hands all together, would you just repeat after me? I'm going to say the words and then you're going to repeat them back in your best outside voice. Dear Lord Jesus, I give my life to you again. I ask you to come into my life, be my boss, be my Lord, and be my King. I'm sorry for the way that I have lived that has not put you first. But from this moment, I place you as King and I place you as Lord in my life, in Jesus' mighty name.